You, darling. We're so in tune, girl. After 40 years, you better be in tune. Hey, because the next hard work. Praise the Lord. I believe I have a word in season for the church. It's called stretch. Not stretch marks. Stretch. God always wants to stretch us. Amen. Who agrees with me there? If he's not stretching me, I sometimes get... When we love our good seasons. Everyone likes their good season, don't they? When things just seem to be going well, everything's just hunky-dory. You know, everything's happening, it's all good, 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 good. But they're the times I stop and think, what's going to happen? What is he setting me up for? Amen. Everything he does in my life is for his glory. Time and message is stretch. I want us to turn to Luke 6, verse 6 to 11. The withered hand. Do you mind if you get my glasses, darling? Please. Let's read it. Let's pray before we start. Father, we thank you for the power of your word this morning. I thank you what you're already doing in the house. I thank you, Jesus, your anointing is here to break every yoke. You're a wholesome God. Your book says, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one. He's complete. You are complete. And everything you do, you will complete. I thank you, Jesus, that you said you are my I am. You're my I am to every situation and problem of God. And I love you for it. So watch over your word this morning, Jesus. I pray that the fallow ground of our hearts would be broken up by the goodness of our God. That your seed would find good ground. That it would bring forth fruit for the righteousness and the glory of your kingdom. That we end up as reflectors of Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. Here's a story of a man with a withered hand. You'll find it in Matthew, you'll find it in Mark, you'll find it in Luke. All right? And we'll vacillate between them three for a little while. It says in Luke 6:6, it says, now it happened on the Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue and he taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered. A footnote, a person that had a physical deformity should never have been in the temple. They weren't allowed. They could sit on the outside, like the man that was lame, and he sat at Solomon's porch, but they couldn't go inside. So somehow he got in, whether he wrapped it up, whether he didn't show his withered hand, but he was in the temple. Amen? And so the scribes and Pharisees watched him closely, Jesus, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation or a fault against him. Isn't it amazing that you can come to church and people's attitude is not to get into worship, not to praise the Lord, but see if they can find a fault? We won't go there. Offended people do not see fruitfulness, but rather seek to find fault to justify the offense. I'll say that again. Offended people do not see fruitfulness, but rather seek to find fault to justify their offense. Just a little footnote. But he knew this. You need to tell someone, Jesus knows your thoughts. He just doesn't know your thoughts, he knows the intent of the thought. Amen. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to the man who had the withered hand, arise, stand here. We'll come back to that. Arise, stand here. And he arose and he stood. He arose and he stood. Then Jesus said to them, the Pharisees and the scribes, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil? To save life or destroy. And when he had looked at them all. In fact, it'll say in Matthew, with anger. He looked with anger at them. So don't, never forget, God does get angry. He wasn't angry at the person. He was angry with their mouth. All right? He looked at them all and said to them, to the man, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. But they were filled with rage. They were filled with rage because he healed someone on their Sabbath. He disrupted their routine. He got under their nose and disrupted them because you don't do that on Sabbath. Heal someone. In the book of Matthew, he said this, if your sheep, the same passage of the withered hand, if a sheep into a ditch or a pit, would you not pick out the sheep? And they would, because it belongs to them. They'll do that because it's theirs. But if you heal someone that doesn't belong to them, it's not got nothing to do with them, now they have prejudice, they have accusations, they have resentment. Because you shouldn't do that because it comes against the system. Don't come against the system. And what they had done, they elevated their sheep greater than their man. They would pull the man out of the pit, the sheep out of the pit, but they refused to pull the man out of his pit. Leave him in his pit. That was their attitude. Leave him in the pit. And they all they want to do is find a fault and an accusation so they could accuse. Because that's what offense does. Offense needs an excuse. Amen. The Bible never tells me what the cause of the man's condition was. He didn't tell me if he was born like that. It didn't tell me if he had an accident. It didn't tell me if someone made that happen. It didn't tell me if born with it or whatever. The Bible never tells me how it happened. All I know was he's in the house and he's got a problem. And everyone in the house wasn't prepared to see the healing of this man's arm. They would rather have systems and they would rather have order that they perceive worship instead of seeing a man whole and healed. And God says, you're counting your sheep more valuable than you're counting a soul. And just sometimes in life, there can be challenges in us, especially if we allow things to happen within our spirit man or our heart, that causes me to have an opinion. Wrong opinion. And I'll rescue my sheep. My things of thinking, my ways of thinking, my ways of doing, rather than rescuing the soul of them. I'd rather elevate my way of thinking in my right. I've got to be right. You see, when we elevate my right, not my rights, my right, you know, when you want to be right, you know, when some argument and you keep badgering, oh, it doesn't happen, that's right. You know when we're having a heated discussion and the Italian comes out of you? Oh, yeah. And the British come here? The Italian comes out of her loud, hands flying, sign language flying everywhere. The British comes out of me, stalwart, I'm right, you're wrong, and it doesn't matter what you say, I won't move. And I'll go down with the ship. That's what a POM would probably do. And all of a sudden, my right, being right is more important. My sheep is more important to someone broken or hurt that has a withered hand that's in the house. And I'd rather prove right than seeing a hole. Are you with me this morning? So what happens is this man with his withered hand is in the house. I want to tell you something about this man. This man is phenomenal. This man is an absolute treasure. He is awesome. He refused to allow the withered hand, that which had become weak, that would become hopeless to him, that which he couldn't use, that which he couldn't use it to embrace anymore, that which he couldn't use to carry the weight he used to carry anymore. That thing, he refused to allow it to dictate him to coming to worship his God. He found a way to get to the house. He didn't look at his lack. In fact, he came to the house of God on two good legs. And I guarantee he was thankful for his two good legs. He came to the house to worship his God with one good arm. He came to the house of God with good eyes and good hearing to worship his God. And he did anything in his power to get to the presence of God. And sometimes in life, when we've lost our strength, notice God said it was the right hand. The right speaks of strength and authority. God always speaks of his right hand. So if you're left-handed this morning, don't be rejected. I'm left-handed. God loves the left-handed too. Just took a few trees to get there. Because it used to burn us at one time. But the right hand speaks of the authority and the power. And so he had lost authority. He had lost strength. He had whatever caused that, we don't know. I don't know what caused him to lose his strength. I don't know how the hand got withered. I don't know if he got Brexit. I don't know if he got offended. I don't know what happened to him. All I do know is this: he got up and he kept on walking. And he got to the house. And he didn't wait for someone's approval to get to the house. He just wanted to get into the presence of the Lord. Amen. So this man bypassed his thinking, bypassed the opinion of others. What are you going to do about him? You know, people have the wrong opinion of you. Anyone ever experienced that? You can talk about it after. But they get the wrong opinion of you, or you, something's happened in your past. He might have had a withered hand from his youth. He might have been born with it. He might have been carrying this disability of a lack of strength from his childhood, of how he was brought up. But he didn't blame his past from getting to the house. He didn't blame offense from getting to the house. He didn't blame people's opinions from worshiping his God. And if we can be really real here this morning, there is so many prodigal sons and daughters not coming to the house because they have a withered hand. And there's too many. There is too many scribes and Pharisees in the house that are quick to point the finger because they're so worried about their own sheep instead of the soul of the man. Something happened to cause his strength to wither. The scribes used him as an example, pointing out his weakness. Jesus was angry because of his attitude in Mark 3 and 5, it says that he was angry with them, angry with what's coming out of their mouth. Do you know it angers God when we hold rejection and when we hold unforgiveness? It angers not you. It angers that my heart can be so hard after all the good that he's done for me. It angers him that I don't understand and experience the love and the mercy of God that he's given to me. Their hearts were so hard that they could justify rescuing a sheep from the pit. I'm going to say it like this. man might have had a withered hand, but the Pharisee had a withered heart. I want to say that again. The man might have had a withered hand, but the scribe and the Pharisee, he had a withered heart. One you could see externally. The other one is internal. And you can be pious on the outside, but have a withered heart on the inside. Something has robbed their heart of strength to follow, to submit, to be obedient. Something, some offense, some unforgiveness has rattled their cage enough where they've closed their heart. And don't get me wrong, they'll come to church. Don't ever, 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 ever step out the confines of the system for a soul, because they'll find some offense will cause them to find something to be offended about. The man might have a withered hand, but he had a withered heart. Turn with me to Luke 6, verse 37 and 42. What brings this withering? What brings this lack of strength? What robs me from strength? What can cause? The whole chapter of Luke 6 is all about unforgiveness and walking in forgiveness. Everything about it. He says this: judge not, that you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give. Now, we say this about money. But if you bring in text of exactly what he's saying, it's got nothing to do with money. In fact, what he's talking about is far richer than money. Walking in forgiveness and grace and mercy, you can't buy that. You can't put up on forgiveness. He's talking about the treasures of the kingdom. Give forgiveness, and it will be given back to you. Now, he's just been talking about that, hasn't he? Isn't that the verse above? Don't judge, condemn, forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give what? Forgiveness, and it will be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, it will be put into your bosom. Money doesn't get put into your heart. Mercy and forgiveness gets put into your heart. For with the same measure that you use it, what? Forgiveness, it will be measured back to you. Forgive and you shall be. Who has to do the first step? We do. For with the same measure that you use it, it will be measured back to you. And he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind, the unforgiving Christian, lion, the unforgiven soul. How can I say to an unforgiven person, Jesus forgives you, when I'm walking in unforgiveness? It's ridiculous. The blind will lead the blind, and they will both fall in a ditch. It's ridiculous of you preaching about the forgiveness of Jesus while you're in a place of unforgiveness. It's blindness. Lead the unforgiving soul, will they not both fall in the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained to what? To love and to? The perfect training is to love and forgive. To love and forgive will be like his teacher. Who wants to be this? Love and forgive. Love and forgive. 1 Corinthians 13, love covers. Love suffers. Love is not envious. Love does not parade itself or is haughty. A person that can love is a person that can serve. Amen. And why do you look at the speck, the little thing, in your brother's eye? When I was a young man, that wasn't that long ago. When I was a young man, I get all these other young men lined up, and I just wanted to take that speck out of their eye. You get on that wall now, I'm going to fix you up. And God's trying to remove this log out of my eye But I couldn't see because the log stops me having vision. All I can see is another person's fault. Take the speck out of your his before you can take the speck out of his eye. We haven't got a speck. I've got a log. I've got a log, man. I mean, this, I'm not talking about a bit of 4x2. I'm talking about a hunk of a tree. You know what I mean? Sticking right in my eyeball. And I'm trying to then help someone else. The log is unforgiveness. How can I take the speck out of my brother's eye unless I take the log out of my own eye? Are you with me? Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye when you yourself do not see the plank in your own eye? I've just said that. Hypocrite. So what is this action? What does Jesus call this action? Hypocrisy. It's hypocrisy. Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye. In other words, get your heart right. Get your heart right. Get your withered heart beating again for the things of God. Strengthen that which is weak in your heart. How do I do that? Allow God to circumcise my heart with the sword of the Word of God, the Spirit man, so He can reveal to me a heart of flesh and He can pull away, because it can only be done by the Spirit. When I submit to the Word, I'm submitting to Him. When I submit to the Word, I'm saying, God, have your way in me. Amen. Obedience to His Word is greater than any song service I can give Him. Because obedience is greater than. Lord, deal with my heart. Lord, stop me being so opinionated. Lord, stop me. Help me take the log out of my own eye. God, help me to walk righteous. Lord, I refuse to keep my sheep. Give me a heart for the lost soul. Help me. Help me to value people more than valuing what I think is right. Help me. Help me to promote you and your love more than my opinion and what I think is right. Sorry, love. Are you with me? This wonderful man of God had an issue. His was an external issue. We could see his problem. I think God helps us deal with external issues a lot easier than in the internal issues. Because I can hide my internal issue. I can hide it from you, but I can't hide it from him. He will corner me. He will deal with me. So this man, Jesus looked at this man. Isn't it wonderful? I'm going to tell you, Jesus found him. He never asked Jesus. Jesus found him. I want to tell you this morning, Jesus found him where? In the house. Jesus is in this house this morning looking for the withered hand so he can bring healing to your life. Jesus found him, and in the midst of his challenge of what people might think, speak, or whatever, he said, stand up and come here. He stood up by faith because he didn't know him. And sometimes, you know, you just got to make a what? Doing all to stand therefore, stand by faith. And sometimes you've got to stand against whatever every word has been spoken, whatever opinion might be thinking, whatever the world might be chucking at you, you've just got to stand. What do I stand on? I mean, he's standing, but what is he standing on? He's standing on a word. He's standing on a word. And the word will not let him down. You can stand on his word. And on the word. and he was in a place that he wanted to be, even though everyone else's opinion said he shouldn't be. So stand, come here. I really believe God's saying that this morning to someone. He's going to come, make you come so he can cause you to stand. Then he said this to him, stretch out your hand. Now, here's the crux. Can I be vulnerable enough to reveal my weakness? Now notice Jesus said, stretch out your hand. He never said, stretch out your withered hand, because Jesus already saw it healed. The dilemma is, do you see it healed? Stretch out hand, he says to the man. And what he was saying is, can you trust me in your weakness? Can you trust me in your lack? Can you trust me in your brokenness? Can you trust me with your past? Can we trust me in your dilemma? Can you trust me? The man healed the withered hand, and it was made whole. And God made strength out of weakness. Your God and my God can take the weak thing in life and make it strong. He can restore what the enemy has stole from me. And even though I don't look the same as others, and even though I might have a weakness in an area of my life, bring restoration and healing. And he'll call me out of the crowd to bless me. This man had a different sort of attitude. This man refused to allow people's opinion stop him worshiping God. He made sure his heart was right. He never took offense. You never read in any of the Gospels where he took offense. He never got an attitude that people were gazing at him in, looking down upon him. He never got an attitude where someone valued a sheep more than him. Never got an attitude. Just went to worship the Lord. And the Lord found him. Thanks, love. I should have one of the Velcro things, shouldn't I? I've seen them, actually. Someone said, use your iPad, Pastor Dave. I did one day and it turned off. And I didn't know how to turn it back on. It took longer to turn the stupid thing on than it took me to finish the sermon. And they say technology helps. Sometimes. That's a wrong opinion. I shouldn't have said that. Stand here. Stretch out towards me that which is weak and I'll make it strong. Stretch out towards me that which is twisted and dysfunctional and he can make it whole. Amen. God is in this house this morning to touch that person. Jesus went to the house to meet a man and he sought him out. Jesus sought him out and Jesus is here this morning to seeking you out. He does not want you to leave with a withered hand. And above all, he does not want you to leave with a withered heart. Come on now. We can get so opinionated, so wanting to be right, that we lose the perspective that it's not about being right. It's about souls. Can I change to suit the soul? I better be able to. I remember talking to this unsaved once. I don't like saying that. This person that didn't follow Jesus. And he was cussing and swearing. And every time he did, oh, sorry about that. Sorry about that. His conversation was so much about the sorry about that, I didn't really get the conversation. It was just sorry about that, sorry about that, sorry about that. I says, please stop saying sorry. It's okay. I used to do the same thing. And he looked at me. You're a pastor. Yes, now. But if you knew me then, I could probably cuss you under the table. Then. And sometimes Christians forget where they've been brought from. And we think they should attain where I am now. So we impose this status obligation upon people. Well, you know, these are your sheep. Well, you know, unless you get that, you I don't know if you're really saved. Judge not, lest you shall be. It's 14, 1 and 2. Every man stands before his own master. No one knows what the master's going to say. And if he hasn't said it yet, who the heck do you think you are? I can't cast judgment. I don't know what they're going to say in their last moments of their breath. I don't know what they're going to do when someone's holding their hand and seeing them go from here to glory. I don't know. God does. Why, he's the judge. And that's why I'm not. What I am is a lover of souls. That's what he's made me to be. The of these is love. Does that mean I excuse their sin? No. No, I don't excuse sin. I call sin sin. But I separate the sin from the person. I separate the sin from the person. Because until they're born again, and until that power of sin is broken over their life, they can't help themselves. Can I hear an amen? If they could help themselves, they wouldn't need a savior. And I was just like him. Your God is here this morning in this house to heal the withered hand. And if you have a withered heart, please don't leave here. Please don't leave here without experiencing the power of restoration to make your heart strong again for the things of him. Amen. Please don't. He is a master craftsman. He can heal your heart in a twinkling. What I've got to do is say, Lord, forgive me. And you shall be forgiven. Forgiven. I can then give out forgiveness. Are you with me? Otherwise, he calls me a hypocrite. I'm in hypocrisy. He's here right now. Are you brave enough to stretch out your hand? Are you brave enough to reveal your weakness and say, here it is? And when he does, he made it as strong, as whole, and as healthy as the other. Let's stand this morning. Are you with me? Hallelujah. He's here this morning. In my prayer time, he says, I'm visiting the house. I want to heal some witheredness in people's lives. Whether that's an external thing or an internal issue, your God is here and he's visiting this house to set you free. Amen. What I've got to do is take the opportunity while he's saying, stand up. Come here. Hallelujah. I'm going to say them words this morning. And if that's you, well, you're all standing, so that's a good thing. But come here. Stand up. And if that's you this morning, that has experienced witheredness, a lack of strength in your life, whether it's your soul, whether it's your heart, whether it's unforgiveness, I don't care what it is. He doesn't care. He didn't tell me the whys. He just says, acknowledge it and reach out to me so I can bring wholeness to the weakness. If that's you, come here now. Your God wants to meet you here and now. Here and now. Healing to your soul. Healing to your spirit, man, once and for all. Hallelujah. Here, right now, your God wants to bring wholeness to your life. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Can I have my prayer team here, please? Oversight. Carmen, Kenny and Tamsin. Kenny and Tamsin, come and pray. Hey, I'm talking to you, Kenny and Tamsin. Rose, come on. Hallelujah. Don't touch them. Don't touch them. I don't want you to touch them. Speak. Speak the word over them. Don't touch them. Speak the word over them. Hallelujah. If I've got any eligible men that might want to try and catch, that would be good. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for the anointing that's even here right now. That's going to break the yoke once and for all. You've called them out, that you can make them stand up. Stand it up. Cause the withering to be made whole in the name of Jesus. God, you're going to bring restoration to that which is weak in their life. And you're going to make them the capacity to be strong and to carry the weight that you have for their life. Lord, and to embrace what God has for their life in the name of Jesus. I thank you this morning for the healing anointing. Breaks every yoke and chain in Jesus' holy name. Father, right now, oh, if there is unforgiveness in your life, you just tell him, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me, Jesus. Forgive me, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lord, I ask you to touch my now in the name of Jesus. Whoo! Whoo! I'm opening the box, says the Lord. I'm opening the box, says the Lord. I'm opening the box, says the Lord. There's no shame in me, says the Lord thy God. Therefore, now there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. I remove every weight, Father. I remove every weight of it. Stretch out your hand. Father, I thank you right now for restoration of this man in the name of Jesus. And God, I speak, Father, right now. I speak into his spirit. Lord, restitution of everything which is stolen from him in Jesus' name. And Father, for the glory of your kingdom, I know, Father, you've got his heart. I know you've got his heart. I know you've got his heart. And Father, I thank you for that this day is a day of deliverance and restitution in Jesus' holy name. Yes. I will give you the words to speak. I will give you the words to speak. And I will cause your latter days to be greater than your former days, says the Lord. And I will even anointing to flow out of your mouth, says God, that will bring a restoration and a healing, says the Lord thy God. And you shall see a flurry of my presence. And you shall see a flurry of my anointing, says the Lord. And you shall see this in the glory of your God, says the Lord. Hallelujah. I seen a jack in the box and all of a sudden there was an opening. Bang. Suddenly. God's going to create a suddenly. He's going to do a suddenly. I don't know what the suddenly is, but he's going to do a suddenly. Father, I ask you to bless. Yes, 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 yes. I'm not touching. In Jesus' name. Healing right now, Father, in the name, mighty name of Jesus. Healing right now. Get your wife, you should be out here praying. Come here. No, you come here. Come on. You come with me. Come, you pray with me then. Come on. Pray with me. time. It's time. Leave me alone. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, touch this woman in Jesus' name. Yes. For I will seal, even says God, I will seal it. I will seal it in the Spirit. Therefore, raise your hand. Stand here. Stand here. Stand here in my word, says the Lord. Stand by faith, says God. Stand by faith, says the Lord, and know, says God, that I will cause you to come into a deeper place in me. And I will cause that which has been weak, that which has been broken, that which has been withered, says the Lord, to bear testimony of my power and my goodness in your life. And you will shout rooftops the goodness of your God. And you shall even see, says the Lord, a severing of those former things. And your struggle, says God, is letting go. Your struggle is letting go. But know this, says the Lord, when you let go, then you can come in to everything I have for you. Therefore, let go, says God, for I'll give you the strength, the capacity, the determination, the power and the might to let go. And as you let go, says God, I will fill afresh, says the Lord thy God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray with this one. If you get anything, let me know. If you get anything, all right? Got a teacher. Father, 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 touch this woman in the name of Jesus. Right now, I want you to look here. See there? See there? That's her spirit man. Now, the Bible says that he reveals the spirit of a man like a scroll. Okay? Because his eye used to read them like a scroll. So what you got to ask, say, Lord, what's written upon the heart that you want to reveal? That's all you got to ask. If there's nothing, it's okay. If there's something, you say it. That's how you do it. All right? Father, touch this woman right now. Yes, 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 yes. Yes. I will cause, says the Lord, I will cause testimony to be a witness of my glory. And you shall be one, says the Lord, that will be used like an arrow in my hand that will break new ground, says the Lord. And I will cause your yesterdays to be your yesterdays, and I will wash your mouth with the water of the word, says God. And I will ask you, says the Lord, to let go of that thing. That thing. That thing that has tried to hold on to you, says the Lord thy God. For it has caused restraint, but I break restraint this morning, says the Lord, that you might walk in the liberty of your God. Thank you, Father. I loose her right now in Jesus' holy name. Praise the Lord. Awesome. Thanks. Hallelujah. Jesus. Isn't he a good God? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I know I might have went a little bit over. I was trying to cut it down for you. Ever seen the movies Mission Impossible? I'm doing my best. I'm on version 6 right now, so. Praise God. Well, we're going to have the